It's day six at the Summer Olympics in London. Much of the attention today on the pool, where American swimmers Ryan Lochte, Michael Phelps, and Missy Franklin will be trying for gold. There have already been some terrific U.S. wins in other sports, but we're pledged not to spring that on you. And tomorrow, the focus shifts to the track inside the new Olympic Stadium, with events like the 100-meter dash. Who will be the fastest person in the world? Ambi Burfoot is editor-at-large for Runner's World. He joins us from London. Ambi, you're there. So what is the anticipation level for track and field?
Well, I think it's very, very large. Of course, people have been enjoying swimming and everything else, but when you have a weekend where Usain Bolt walks on the track, that's as electrifying as the world of sport can get, I think.
Usain Bolt, of course, he won both the 100 and 200 in spectacular fashion 4 years ago in the Beijing Olympics, you know, one of the fastest people in the world. But who are the other names we should be looking for?
Well, he absolutely has competition this year, and there are many people who think that his countrymate, Johan Blake, is actually going to beat him. Blake has beaten him a couple of times in Jamaica, and also Bolt isn't fully up to the speed that we think he had in 2008. He says that he has mended, that he's strong, and that he's ready to go.
Well, you mentioned Jamaica. Here's the Jamaican Olympic Trials 100-meter final. Usain Bolt, Johan Blake, and Asafa Powell.
And there they go. Not a good start again for Usain Bolt. Asafa Powell is out there with the lead. Usain Bolt is coming through. Johan Blake on the outside. Johan Blake comes through to win it. On the line, it is Usain Bolt and Asafa Powell, second and third.
Johan Blake winning the 100 and 200 at the Jamaican Olympic Trials and got the nickname The Beast from Usain Bolt. So this is going to be a big rivalry, but who do you think has the edge?
I think Blake may actually have the edge. I think that what Usain Bolt did was so spectacular in Beijing that he's going to run into a little bit of the Michael Phelps phenomenon. It's just going to be very, very hard to match what he did 4 years ago.
And that's funny you mentioned that because, you know, there's so much expectation for Phelps. And, you know, while he's done spectacular, you know, he's medaled, he's won gold, he's won more medals than anyone in the Olympics. But people expect all gold. Do the runners watch something like that? Are they watching and are they kind of gauging how that might apply to them? Or is that actually happening?
I don't think the runners are watching swimming and thinking that. They just know their own performances, they know their competitors, and they know that this is the stage that they have to perform on.
Okay, so the men's sprints, the 100-meter, 200-meter, the finals are Sunday. The women's 100-meter final is Saturday night. Again, a Jamaican, the favorite, but Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce is coming back from a 2010 doping ban. She says it was because she took medication for a dental procedure. So there'll be some, you know, focus on her and question as to whether, you know, she can come back. Her main challenger, American Carmelita Jeter, past world champion. Talk about that race.
I know how great all the Jamaican sprinters are, but I think Jeter is ready to do it this time. She's just been so consistent in recent years.
What else should we watch in the women's?
The women's 10,000 on Friday night. That's likely to be an Ethiopian and Kenyan show. But then the men's 10,000 on Saturday night, I never thought I would say this, but I think an American has a chance at a gold medal in the 10,000.
Hush your mouth. Who would that be?
That would be Galen Rupp, the Alberto Salazar protege. They've been together for 10 years. Rupp has gotten better and better for 10 years. And now he's right on a level with the Kenyans and Ethiopians and with his training partner, who's a British runner, Mo Farah, from Somalia.
And let's now move to the marathons. You know, the last American woman to win one was Joan Benoit Samuelson in 1984. We remember that, just heart-stopping in Los Angeles. And it was the first women's Olympic marathon. One of the Americans competing now, Shalane Flanagan, was a big high school star right here in Massachusetts at Marblehead High. She says the marathon course might be to her advantage. Here's some sound from your Runner's World website interview with Flanagan.
There are some sections that are really fast. There's a lot of twists and turns and cobblestone and tight little alleyways. And I look at it as an advantage. I think I'm kind of like a mix of a cross-country marathoner. And so to me, I'm looking at it as a cross-country course that I can go and attack. And I think it can slow down some of the athletes that are really fast.
Ambi Burfoot, you know, if this is a New Englander talking about running in England, cobblestones and everything. Does she have a point, though, that it might be to her advantage?
The course is as twisting as Shalane describes it because it was pretty much mapped out for TV. It's got everything. It's got Buckingham Palace, Big Ben. So it's going to be a TV spectacular. That said, the competition is unbelievable. It's the best women's marathon ever assembled. There are seven women in the field who have run under 2 hours and 20 minutes. And at this point, Shalane is still a bit from that, so she is definitely going to have to gut it out.
Well, you know, and you mentioned the great running times. You know, we think of the Kenyans, Mary Katani and Edna Kiplagat, two who have run under 2 hours and 20 minutes for the marathon. And here in Boston with the marathon, we're just become accustomed to seeing the Kenyan women win. I mean, don't they have a pretty inside track on this?
It's unquestionably true that the Americans are back on track and we are running very fast again. But I have to say, the Kenyans and Ethiopians are not standing still and waiting for us. In the men's races, you know, a 204 marathon is an every weekend occurrence now, and that's just astonishing.
Yeah, well, you know, I want to ask you about that. But first, just, you know, in the men's Olympic marathon, Frank Shorter was the last to win it, last American to win it, way back in 1972. We did a story earlier about Kenyan runner Sammy Wanjiru, who won the marathon in Beijing, but died tragically last year. He was drinking. He fell from a balcony at his home in Kenya. Terrible story. But it's presumed that the Africans are still in the running for medals in the marathon.
Oh, not only that, but Sammy Wanjiru's victory in Beijing actually catapulted the Kenyans to a new level, and everybody in that country has been running faster since 2008, and they all give a lot of credit to Wanjiru. So they will be running with his memory in their hearts. So I think that could make them even stronger.
Okay, so we'll watch that. Then there's the decathlon. American Ashton Eaton set a world record in the trials back in June, so he's considered a favorite. But just in the time we have, Ambie, you know, you talk about these speeds. Is there a point where they just can't run any faster? I mean, how fast can people go? Do you see the Olympics coming where it's there's just not going to be records broken because people can't run faster than they're running?
Well, I think we will always run faster, but your point is very well taken. It will get more and more difficult to set records, and there is a diminishing curve. It's a biological fact. So records are tougher and tougher to come by, and perhaps that just means that we're going to be more excited and cherish them more when they do happen.
Well, and we'll also be watching other aspects of the sport, and that includes Oscar Pistorius. We have to mention the Australian who's going to be running for the first time in the Olympics on these prosthetics. Quite something.
He will definitely be one of the biggest stories here. He has been all along, not just big, but controversial. Most of the runners are very, very supportive of Oscar. But frankly, one of the reasons they're supportive is because he isn't as fast as they are yet. And if you give them a second attempt to answer, they'll say, well, if he started running a lot faster, then we might change our minds about the prosthetic legs.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on that as well. Ambie Burfoot, editor-at-large for Runner's World, from London on the track and field events, which are coming up. We cannot wait. Ambie, thanks so much.
Thank you, Robin.
And speaking of Olympics, you may have heard the official Here and Now, spandex-free, no athletes allowed office Olympics are going swimmingly. Producer Alex Ashlock won the gold in basketball. Look at his follow-through. I did steal back a little glory in a heated game of pencil javelin, but we almost lost producer Kevin Sullivan in pencil fencing. Thank goodness for that mesh letter tray face mask. Go to hereandnow.org or facebook.com/hereandnowradio for pictures. And please, more suggestions. Later today, we will post the results of the cubicle divider balance beam event. Unbelievable. Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston. In association with the BBC World Service and PRI, I'm Robin Young. Please join us again. Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software. Find over 200 job openings at mathworks.com.
PRI, Public Radio International.